Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Lord. So, with the pandemic, you know, all of us have lost some time with some of our families, not being able to travel or people being ill. All those things that we keep hearing about on the radio and the new variants and so forth and so on. But there's been sort of a tradition in our family the last. Oh, I don't know, it's a few years, where my, let me go back a little bit. Let me not go too far down the rabbit hole. But when my brothers and I had children, little children, we gathered every Christmas at my dad's house for this Christmas extravaganza. And it was crazy. Kids everywhere, stuff everywhere. And my dad had all these, loved to buy these crazy gifts. And anyway, so, of course, when my dad died, that tradition ended. And a few years later, my nephew, Bart, came up and said, called my youngest brother and said, let's get together, let's do this thing. And so we did. And we had a white elephant gift exchange. But one of the things that happens is that Bart always brings a gift to all the children. And clearly he has checked with the parents about what the gift might be. Because as these little kids opened their gifts last night, there were squeals, I mean squeals of joy, because there was something they didn't get for Christmas that they wanted, and here it was. And I thought when they were doing that, I thought, what would it take for these children to squeal for joy in the same way about the gift of Jesus? And the thing that came to my mind was our celebration Friday night when my grandchildren were here. And they were enthralled with all of you and with this place. And they've been to a lot of different churches, some of them very fancy and some of them not so fancy. But they left here saying, they call me Babsy. Babsy, can we come to church there every week? So that's what it takes, you all. The gift of acceptance and the gift of love to make our children squeal for joy for Jesus. Today we mark the end of our celebratory season as we acknowledge and celebrate the baptism of our Lord. And this is one of the days in the church where if you have a baptism, that it's recommended that you schedule it for today, for obvious reasons. Now, we don't have an opportunity to do a baptism today, but we will take the opportunity to renew our baptismal vows, the ones that either we took when we were baptized, if we remember that, or that someone took for us. And every time we say them, we increase the corporate knowledge of what baptism is about. And even though it's not our baptism, even every time we attend a baptism, we get this little piece of corporate memory about what baptism is about. All the elements of the creed are in this recitation, but what's really striking to me is the first part of the statement. And that's the part that acknowledges and declares that we fight against and reject evil, that we denounce Satan. Those are pretty strong words for Episcopalians to stand up and say, I denounce Satan. We're sort of more like, it's like, well, maybe Satan's around, maybe he's not, you know? Trust me, Satan is around. So we will ask and confirm that we renounce evil. And there's times at Christmas when I say to myself, as I'm getting lost in the wonder of the birth of Jesus, the wonder of who our Savior is, and I wonder, what is my responsibility as a disciple in all of this, as I understand and witness Jesus coming into the world? How do I stand in the world to renounce Satan? How do I stand to accept the love that Jesus offers to us? as disciples, we can't just rejoice and celebrate break Christmas and then be done with the whole Jesus thing. As Christ is born into the world, so is Christ born and reborn in our hearts. Every time we tell the Christmas story, every time we celebrate the Christmas story, we need to do it not just in the context of a historic event, but in the context of the telling of the celebration that's important in the present, in the right here and the right now. So why is this baptism of Jesus so important? It's the last thing that we'll do before ordinary time, which starts next week. We'll change the colors to green, and we'll spend some time preparing for Lent. So Jesus went to John to be baptized, and we know that Jesus was without sin, so why in the world did this have to happen? Technically, it wasn't necessary. John was calling people to be baptized for the remission of their sins and forgiveness, to be absolved. And Jesus' participation in that act foretells us of the sacrament of baptism, and it's important for those who follow him. Baptism welcomes us into the family of God and marks us as Christ's own forever. When we take part in the act of baptism, we take time to renew this commitment to God, this commitment that Jesus made, this commitment of obedience, that he did what it was that his Father in heaven called him to do. Because, see, baptism isn't just it's not a personal event. It feels very personal when it's happening, when the family comes up with the baby and all dressed in white lace or whatever, and everyone's happy and smiling. It feels so personal. Everyone there is a part of that baptism. It's a corporate act, not just a personal act. When we renew our vows, when we participate in baptism, God nods and says, "In you, my beloved, I am well pleased." Another thing, too, that we will not do, and it's not part of the renewal of vows, is that at a baptism, every time, the question is asked, will you, who witness these vows, do all in your power to support these persons in their life in Christ? And everyone says, "We will." What does that mean? We will. Someone asked me one time, "Well, if the family moves away, how in the world can I be part of keeping that child in the light of Christ?" And the answer is that it's not about that child. It's a corporate event. It's about keeping all those around you in the light of Christ. In that declaration, we take responsibility for one another, whether they're the little children that are baptized or one another who were baptized long time ago. We commit to walk the way of love together, because love is the foundation of God's relationship with Jesus. "This is my beloved son," he says, "beloved." Not good. This is my kid. This is my beloved. And that's the foundation of God's relationship with us also. We are God's beloved, unconditional. And Jesus manages to take this message of unconditional love all the way through his ministry to everyone he meets, because he knows that he is loved by God unconditionally. And that gives him the strength and the courage, even to the cross. So even as we celebrate the Christmas story, we remember that for some, it's a difficult time of year. And it's the unconditional love of God that gets us through, each one of us, through those stormy times, whether it be the time of Christmas celebration or any time in our lives that are not easy, and we all have them. And that's why it's so important that we, as God's messengers, as Christ's light bearers, we have to believe in and declare the power of this love. So hear the baptismal promise that God makes to you as we hear this gospel this morning and as we renew our vows. You are beloved. No exceptions. You're not what the world may or may not say you are, whether it's your successes or your failures. You are the perfect being that is created by God and loved by God. I sent this to you on Thursday, but I think I want to share it again. And I've had it on my desk ever since I found it. I'm pretty sure I got it from the Forward Day by Day, but since I just printed it for my own use, I didn't make a notation. I'll have to try and find it. It says, Lord, break into my life and gather me into your arms of consolation. That is such an image of beloved, unconditional love. But if we really want to accept this love, we need to be ready to receive it. We need to be ready to really receive it. And when God opens his arms to us, we need to be ready to run into them, to be embraced, and to embrace God back. So, my friends, this morning, embrace the promise of God that we received at our baptism. Embrace the love of one another and give the love of God to one another, knowing that we are beloved. Amen. So now I invite you to stand.